Turn this afternoon to Book of Acts, chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 and verses 19 and following to verse 26. You can follow along and I'll read these verses. To open with there this afternoon. Acts 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Father, we do thank you for the privilege of handling the Word of God. Might we do so in thy sight with the understanding and the leading of the Holy Spirit to direct our thoughts and our hearts to the Word of God and what it means in our lives as well as what we can do in putting it forth towards others. We pray for this church, for the pastor, and thankful for his being able to be with his family this time. I pray that you would bring him back safely, for the Haglunds and others that are traveling, that they would be able to be safe and be drawn back to us. In Christ's name, amen. This portion of Scripture has a great deal of importance in showing us the way in which the Lord works. The Lord works by leading believers to the places of service as well as leading them in the service that they have. I can look back and see obvious leading of the Lord in my life. I can look back at times when I decided on my own to go certain paths. But the Lord's path has always been, in hindsight, very clear. In foresight, one of the things that is important to recognize in determining whether the Spirit of God is leading us is that we have the indwelling Spirit of God as believers. And as believers, when decision times come and we decide a certain course, if that's the Lord's will, the Spirit of God will give a peace concerning that decision. If it is not the Lord's will, and He gives a doubt and question in your mind, then that's the way He leads. Now, He allows us to go with the wrong decision, and maybe takes the doubt away, but down the line you can see that little bit of doubt, that was the problem. I didn't listen. And so here's a record of the Spirit of God's leading. The book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles, the way it's titled. And I think that's very much true, because it basically, in the first part of the book, deals with what Peter does, and the rest of the book what Paul does, generally speaking. And the other apostles are interspersed in the account. But actually, it's a history of the Spirit of God working through men. We can look at the book of Acts in that light and recognize that here is a scriptural account given by inspiration of God Himself of how the Holy Spirit worked in putting people in various places. An obvious account of that truth was the man Philip, who was one of the seven deacons in the church of Jerusalem in Acts 6. And later on, he preached the word of God in Samaria to great effect. Multitudes were reached. The Spirit of God led him to go down to the desert and speak to one man that was leaving Jerusalem to go back to Ethiopia and show him the way of salvation. And as soon as this was accomplished, the Spirit of God caught him up and took him to Caesarea. Obviously, the Spirit of God was the one leading. That's just one instance in the book of Acts. But here in chapter 11, verse 19, there's a phrase there in the middle of that verse. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as, and it's Cyprus, Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch. In verse 22, when tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, they sent forth Barnabas that he should go where? As far as Antioch. Now, Antioch of Syria, which was along the Mediterranean coast. There's another Antioch in Scripture, but that is in Pisidia, up in Asia Minor. Two different Antiochs. This Antioch was that one that we saw in this passage where the Apostle Paul taught for a whole year, along with Barnabas and others, to the church at Antioch. And this church at Antioch was the church that sent out what we would call missionaries, Paul, Barnabas, Silas, others, to spread the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. And so the persecution in verse 19 that arose concerning Stephen and his martyrdom, following Stephen's martyrdom, there was great persecution against the Christians. This seemed to light a fire under all of the opposition against the Lord Jesus Christ and his followers, and they saw the success that they deemed success in putting this one to death, so they took off after any and everybody they could find. The scripture says that one of the leaders in this, of course, was Saul of Tarsus, who later became known as Paul the Apostle. And this persecution was so severe that multitudes of saved people left Jerusalem and Judea and went to other parts of the world. And here it says they went as far as Antioch in two verses. And we know from history that this Antioch was the main center of the Christian faith and the propagation of it for several hundred years following this. This came about because the Lord had in his plan for Jerusalem, for Jerusalem and all the Jews to be so destroyed by the Roman Empire, which happened in 70 AD, that there was no church left there, there was no people left there. The Lord, knowing this, had the Spirit of God lead people to go to Antioch to carry on his work, because Jerusalem was doomed and could not carry on beyond the point of his destruction any work for him. And so the Spirit of God led believers to go where he wanted them to go, either through the persecution to start them, but then they had direction, go here. And this Cyrene was in northern Africa. And later on in the scripture, it speaks about some of those who had left Jerusalem and went to Cyrene ended up going to Antioch. And so in what we read here in these few verses, it points out that these men and women gathered in Antioch and preached the Word of God, not to the Jews only, but also in verse 20, some of those of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, speak unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. You see, this 20th verse points out that some of those in verse 19 that went to Phinehas or Phoenicia in Cyprus also later went to Antioch also. And so these men started preaching unto the Grecians, and the hand of the Lord was with them in doing so. And the result was a great number believed and turned unto the Lord of non-Jewish people. And so here the church in Antioch, beginning, was made up primarily of Jewish people. There were multitudes of Gentiles brought in immediately too. And so it became not only a large church, but it was made up of both Jew and Gentile, which at that time in the history of Christianity was a problem. The Jewish people couldn't get out of their head that the Jewish law that they purported to follow as Jews carried on over as Christians. And so they felt that they had to follow that. Anybody that was saved had to follow it. And so this became a problem, one of the major problems that Paul faced in his work of putting forth the gospel, was constantly Jews opposing him because they felt that he was compromising the law and what he was doing. First of all, that the Gentile dogs didn't need to be even dealt with. They were worse than the dirt under our feet. And the Apostle Peter was shown by the Lord that that was not true in the dealing with Cornelius in chapter 10, just prior to this. And the Apostle Paul had that recognition that he was sent as an apostle to the Gentiles. He claimed that as a mandate from the Lord. But in the early church, this was a real problem. And the point that I'm bringing out here, first of all, is that the Church of Antioch had seeds of it started from the persecution that was coming upon Christians in other places, that the Spirit of God was leading those under persecution that had to flee for their lives to go to Antioch, because the Lord was gathering people there together, first of all, to be taught. As we saw there in verse 26, in that last verse we read, they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Barnabas recognized that Saul of Tarsus was a terrific teacher of God's word. And Barnabas was a good man, in verse 24, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Full means he was controlled by the Holy Ghost. Spirit of God was controlling Barnabas. He controlled him and said, go to Tarsus and get Saul down here to help teach these multitudes that are being saved. And so, you see how the Lord works? He not only took people under persecution to a place where he had designed to have them establish themselves and the Word of God being established, but he brought men in that could teach them. And just by the leading of the Spirit of God, all this came about. My thought is, the few of us here in the first year now at Cromwell, at Bible Baptist Church, how did the Lord bring us to this point? You see, the Spirit of God had to be involved in this. Men can do certain things. But as far as humanly speaking, Bible Baptist Church, humanly speaking, wouldn't have got off the ground. Putting a pencil to it, the six families, Bill and Mark, Dr. Strauss, Aaron, myself, and Jerry Akers, were the initial six. That which we could give would not support this ministry. No, it couldn't be done. The Lord brought the Vassers, Jeff, Haglins, Mrs. Harding, immediately in, that made it look a little more viable. But still, how in the world could Dr. Strauss continue his ministry of the seminary? And we can't finance it. No way. Can't be done. But it was done. Not because of us, but because of the Spirit of God leading and providing, you see. And this, why the Lord wanted this, obviously, He wanted this to go forth. But why did we do it to begin with? The Spirit of God worked at us. He wanted to establish a new base of truth, where the truth of God's Word can go forth in a community that doesn't have it. And where? We tried New Britain, we tried Berlin, we ended up in Cromwell. Why? The Lord, we can look back and see how the Lord directed that. So, see, we're gathered together here by means of the Spirit of God. This is an account of the Lord doing that very thing in Antioch, and the history of the church is a history of the Spirit of God leading men beyond their capability of understanding how or why to accomplish His work. That's a fascinating study of history, just to see that. The history of Antioch proves that this was a great force for God's work to be done in those early centuries. And so those people that were involved in this were part of that great work being accomplished because they were open to being led by the Spirit of God to a certain place. And I always said I was willing to do the Lord's work, preferably not in a big city, or not even near one. Farthest thought that I ever had was to come east. Never. Not me. I'm just a country hick. I don't belong in the city. But the Lord brought me here. Amen. So, not that that's any big thing, but it's just part of that which the Lord wanted done, you see. That can be multiplied many times. How did Mark end up here, you see, from Minnesota? The preaching of the Lord Jesus to those that have need, but also to those who would open their heart to that teaching. We have no way of knowing when we put forth the truth of the Word of God how it's going to be received. That's the Lord's doings, not ours. Amen. When we give forth the Word of God, and the Lord opens some hearts to receive that truth, that's not because of us, that's because of the Lord's working. And all of us can either receive or reject the teaching of God's Word. He will allow us to do either one. But He can only be followed and honored as we receive the Word of God. The greatest teacher in the world, of whom I'm sure Paul was a good example of one of the great teachers in all of history of the Word of God, would have been to no avail in a place where the Spirit of God hadn't led people and prepared them and had open hearts to receive that teaching. Put that combination together and things are going to happen. You see the application to us? Not to just build up a man, but Dr. Strauss is one of the greatest teachers that anybody in this day could have. And that teaching received and acted upon will accomplish great things. I believe we've seen the start of that. I pray that it will continue. And each one of us are a part of that, you see. Either teaching or being willing students. And so the church at Antioch was scattered by persecution. The word of God was preached there to Greeks and Jews alike. And it says that in verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Believing is has a necessary corollary of turning to the Lord and from sin. If that isn't a part of it, there isn't any belief. I've got a kind of a favorite saying that I've had for years, stated to some of you anyway, but faith, biblical faith, is believing God's word to the extent that we act accordingly. Anything less than that is not biblical faith. They believed and they turned. That's a scriptural verification of that principle, you see. So as you and I hear the Word of God and are taught the Word of God, it will cause us to believe. And the result of that believing will be a turning from sin and a turning unto the Lord. It isn't that we're here today because we can't think of something better to do. We're here today because the Word of God is being put forth. We anticipate that. And that Word of God received will cause us to become more like the image of Jesus Christ and will turn us from that which is going to hurt us, sin, unto the Lord, which is going to bless us. Pretty simple, but that's the message. And so the hand of the Lord was with them there in verse 21. We do our work with hands, don't we? Pretty hard if you lost a hand and just had a hook there. You couldn't do as much. Hands are what carry out work. The hand of the Lord was with them. The work accomplished was because of the working of the Lord. His hand was upon them. And hands can be trained to do wonderful things. The second part of the message is that news travels. It traveled in that day, in verse 22. Then tidings of these things came under the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. What things that many people were gathered in Antioch, putting forth the truth of God's word, preaching to the Gentiles, and multitudes of those Gentiles were believing. That news came to Jerusalem. How did it come? They didn't have telegraph, telephone, or anything. Somebody carried that news back to Jerusalem and told them. But that news travels. That which Bible Baptist Church has done in the last year with our means of communication with the internet has gone all over the world. That news has traveled. And so we have the opportunity and the additional responsibility as well as blessing of having what's happened here through the Lord's work not only be known immediately around, but it's known around the world. And so that news will bring rejoicing to the heart of those who love the Lord and His truth in many places. That's something that we shouldn't lose sight of. What a wonderful thing to be a part of that. And so the church in Jerusalem says in verse 22, the last part of the verse, they sent forth Barnabas that he should go where? As far as Antioch. Whatever else places these believers have been scattered to, he was to go as far as Antioch. And this 23rd verse has got a terrific truth in it also. It says that who, that's speaking of Barnabas, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. Here's an instance where it says that the grace of God can be seen. I thought the grace of God was a concept. But it's something that can be seen. The results of the grace of God are what he saw. And so it speaks of it as seeing the grace of God. When I look at some of you, I rejoice, I am glad, because I see the results of the grace of God. See? What could be of more lasting gladness than to see the grace of God at work? He exhorted them, Barnabas exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. You see, again, the heart is the place of decision. It's the place where we purpose. And the heart in purpose to follow and cleave unto the Lord. And it speaks of Barnabas as being a good man, controlled, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And it says on after Barnabas got there, and much people was added unto the Lord in addition to all of those that were already added unto the Lord. So there was an ongoing reaching of people, seeing the grace of God going on forward. We've had a wonderful first year at Bible Baptist Church. I pray that it's just the beginning, that we can see more if the Lord tarries. The truth of God's Word is as powerful as it was in that day. The world is as wicked as it was in that day. And we sometimes think that the wickedness going on about us is so great that it suppresses the value of the truth being capable of reaching them. But conviction of sin is the same in any age or for any condition. It's not too hard to convict wicked people of sin. Do you understand that? You see, the news traveled to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. They sent Barnabas, he saw the grace of God. He exhorted them to cleave unto the Lord with purpose of heart. And then he departed to Tarsus to seek Saul. Think of it. Here's some of these Jewish believers that has gone as far as Antioch, gone into the church there. Why did they leave Jerusalem? They feared for their life. They were scattered because of persecution. Who was the main persecutor? Saul of Tarsus. Barnabas, you mean, you dummy? You're going to get Saul to bring back to these, teach these people that fled from you to begin with? What are you thinking of? Think of that. How would you feel if you were one of those that fled Saul and then Barnabas is going to go bring him to teach us? There had to be some grace in action, wasn't there? Do you suppose that taught forgiveness? If they didn't already know it and learn it, that would have brought it about, wouldn't it? And so, Saul comes, and in closing, in verse 26, when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. They were involved in teaching thousands of people in that church. And the last phrase of this 26th verse, the disciples were called what? Christians first in Antioch. Christ ones. So, with the Spirit of God leading them to that point, seeing the grace of God reaching multitudes, and then assembling with one of the great teachers of the day for a whole year, teaching them the Word of God, they put to practice what they were taught in such a way that they were called Christians first in Antioch. You see our position then, folks? The great teaching that we have, what should it accomplish? we should follow and practice that great teaching. And then people would recognize, they couldn't help but see, those people are Christians. So how we dress, how we act, how we talk, is that which would be the result of receiving the great truth that we have access to. And thereby, I want to make a simple application. The world about us, and a lot of what is called the Christian world, has no standards that adhere to the Word of God in their manner of life. It's the difference between night and day. The position of us as Christians being rightly taught is to let it be applied in our life day by day as we gather together at church to be taught and as we live at home and in the world alike. We cannot have one standard for here and another standard at home. It won't work. And it's not that which would turn us, oh, they're Christians. Christ ones are ones who are following and becoming like the image of Christ. And so the dress standards, for instance, that are proper for a Christian meeting with other Christians are the exact same standards as you have going to the grocery store or anywhere else. I'll give you an example. 2 years back, after the first year we were in Connecticut, three ladies came out from Emmanuel to visit in Wyoming who had never seen Yellowstone Park. One lady was a Christian lady that the Lord had prompted to dress like a lady wherever she was. We went to Yellowstone Park in August, the busiest time of the year, literally thousands of people. And at Old Faithful, where there was probably at least 3,000 people waiting for it to erupt, boardwalk around it. As after the eruption, as we were leaving, I was walking behind my wife and the ladies, and I watched my wife, being an older woman. There was a few, once in a while, you'd see an older woman with a dress on. A young woman in her 30s, I never saw another one among those thousands walking there. But I, walking behind, I saw the look of many people approvingly looking at this lady dressed like a lady, in contradistinction to everyone else. That's what it means by being called Christian. Being a Christ one, practically, you see that? That spoke a lot to me. I knew this truth, but just I observed what that meant as a testimony. So somebody giving a tract out like that or speaking to somebody would have a great deal more force than somebody dressed otherwise. I can guarantee you. So I just wanted to leave that as they were called Christians first in Antioch. Why? Because they had great teaching, great reception of that teaching, put it into practice in their life, and multitudes were saved, and the hand of the Lord was with them. Great rejoicing. What more could you have than that? We're living in a wicked world. But our light will shine brighter in darkness. Close a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for the work that the Word can do in our hearts. We're thankful for this account of those that were prompted by the Spirit of God to go to Antioch in that day, and the teaching that they had, they accepted, and that which resulted. And we're thankful that this record is given for our admonition, that we can reflect upon these truths and emulate them. Thankful for each one here, for the word of truth that has been received and the grace of God that has been seen. We're thankful also for your provision for new believers as well as for more mature people. Pray that the service today and the word today would be that which could be used and adhered to and rejoiced in Christ's name. Amen.